doozy. How do you deal with letdowns? How do you deal with disappointments? You know, after Christmas, it can be a letdown. If you've had Christmas, if you celebrated Christmas the last couple days, you start putting away all the boxes, you start cleaning up, you start, some of you probably threw your tree out last night. Maybe you've got a bunch of Christmas things to go to. Our family this year has 4 different Christmases. We will not be done celebrating Christmas till Thursday. That is a wonderful problem to have, but it also keeps us busy. We're on our second one. Tonight will be our 3rd one. So that's a good thing, but it also wears you out. Some of you are here today, and your family let you down. They didn't show up yesterday. They didn't show up last night or Christmas Eve. Maybe you didn't have a family, and you were by yourself, and you thought the kids would call, or somebody would call, or somebody would come, and they didn't come. You're disappointed. Some of you, growing up, had relational letdowns. You had letdowns where people you thought were supposed to be something special in your life, and they ended up not being. They took advantage of you one way or the other, physically, mentally, spiritually. You believed in their word, and they betrayed you. Some of you were abandoned when you were young. Somebody didn't love you and just gave you to somebody else. I know parents today in this place who are vilely and really upset with the way their kids are turning out. I taught you better. I showed you a better way, and you're doing that. You're acting like that. I'm so disappointed. Some of you are disappointed in people around you, or you feel let down, where you thought somebody was one way and they ended up being another way. As we talk about disappointments today, Whitney prefaced it so good. I want you to think about Jesus for a minute and think about all the stuff we've been talking about the last couple of weeks about how Jesus was brought into this world. And from the time he got here, it was just a letdown after letdown after letdown. And then at the very end of his life, as he was getting ready to give up his life for us, the very people that were supposed to be the closest to him said, crucify him. They were part of that. They were part of that movement. He was the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 33, it was prophesied this of Jesus, that he was despised, he was rejected by men, and he was literally hated by people. What a way to have your life kind of spelled out. Despised and rejected. Man of sorrows, the Bible says he was. While suffering all these things, Jesus was perfect, the Bible says. He was sinless in every way, and he was despised and hated by people. No wonder all of us get so tired of trying to please other people, because we're not sinless. We're a bunch of relational nightmares and brokenness. I've been talking to so many people this last week at how broken we all are. And you get around the holidays, and that brokenness is magnified 1,000 times how screwed up each one of us are and how screwed up our families are and the allowances that we have to make for each other. And so, as you think about Jesus being perfect and sinless, still people let him down, and still people were willing to kill him in the end. And so there's a couple different things that, as we start this today, that I want to lay out before you as we get to the two meat of everything that we're going to talk about. And it's this, when you talk about being let down from people around you, there's four kind of warning signs that kind of happen when that happened. The first is a very dangerous thing that happens when we have that is when we get a hard heart. And what I mean by that, what I'm talking about is somebody hurts you, and you say, well, forget that. I'm never trusting that person again. And we wall up these walls in our life, and we say, I'm not going to let that person or anybody ever get that close to me again. And that happens so easy in our life. And when these walls are built up, it's very hard for them to be torn down. Another dangerous result of this is a prideful spirit. A prideful spirit, what does that mean? That means that we look at someone and we say, yeah, you know, they're not really very good, and I would never be like that person. I'll never do that. And then you turn out doing the same thing that they did, and you do these scenarios in your mind, and you end up almost hating that person because of who they are or what they do, and this prideful, oh, that's not me. That'll never be me. And you end up being just that same person. Another dangerous result of this is what I call justified sin. And justified sin is basically this. In reality, there's really no such thing as justified sin, but somebody hurts you, somebody does you wrong, and the first thing that you think about is how you're going to make them pay yourself. You know, you hope that they're armpits are infested with fleas, or you wish harm on them. You wish great harm on them, and so you have this justified sin. They hurt me, I'll hurt them. Happens all the time. Happens husbands and wives. Happens with, well, you know, you and I'll show you. You ain't getting none of this. This is, it's all going away. Justified sin. Or somebody, these are just, you do things that are just unimaginable until you get to that point where somebody does that to you, and then you somebody gossips about you. Well, I'll tell some stuff about them then, and it just goes on and it goes on. And so we have to be very, very careful that we don't justify sin when we're hurt ourselves. And then the fourth one is a revengeful attitude. And it basically means this, that when somebody hurts you, you try to hurt them back purposely. You know, Clark was in the Christmas vacation, and he was thinking all about this pool that he was going to have. I watched that about three times, by the way, this Christmas season. And I remember very vividly that Clark is dreaming about it, and I'm going to get this pool for my family and for me, and he goes, and they get him the Jelly of the Month Club, and so what happens is not Clark took revenge, but who took Eddie, Cousin Eddie took revenge, and went and got his boss and tied him up on a ribbon and says, here he is. So revenge happens in all shapes, forms, and sizes. The sad thing is today is many of us as Christians are living with a heart that is far from God. And that's the point that I want to make today. You see, we look like Jesus people on the outside, but our hearts are far from God. And the Bible says that we have to be very, very careful. As I thought about this lesson today, there was two things that kept coming to me the last couple of weeks as I was thinking about putting this together, because I knew after Christmas we'd all be, there's always that time of just, you know, whether it was horrible or not, where you just kind of go, oh. It just feel like the weight of everything around you, and everything around you is tough. And so there's two things that I was thinking about that I remember in my life that helped me relationally with people, because that is my life. My life is you people. My life is coming up alongside of most of you in one way or the other. And we let each other down all the time. And how do we make that better? How do we make that better? So I offer you today two solutions to take home. The first one you already know, but I want to remind you of it. It's in the form of two prayers. The first prayer is this. I pray this all the time. God, help me have a thicker skin. Help me have a thicker skin. All of the experiences that we have are so harsh today. We get hurt. We hurt people all the time. And a lot of times we don't even know we do it. We don't even know. Proverbs says it this way. It says in Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. And then it says, it is his glory to overlook an offense. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. When somebody hurts you, it is to your glory and to God's glory, ultimately, when you overlook an offense, when your skin doesn't get hurt. Now, I'm a perfect illustration of this physically. Most of you that know me or been 3 inches of me, you know that my arms are always a mess. They look like I've been in a battle. And I just have thin skin on my arms, literally thin skin on my arms. And so if I touch anything, I can scrape off a 3-inch part of my arm, and I'm bleeding for about 3 seconds, and it's done. That's just me. I don't know why. I've asked a million doctors, and they said, "You're getting old." Okay, thank you. There's a lot of people getting old. I don't notice doing that, but okay. And so I'm literally very thin-skinned in my arms. The rest of me, not so much, but in my arms, I am. I believe that's a really good picture of us in this world today, about we just barely nudge something, and we get all out of sorts. We barely, somebody says something, and we just get twisted in knots, and we just have a horrible time finding joy, finding peace, finding patience, because ultimately we just want to go and we want to choke somebody. Now that's a problem, and that means that we are suffering from thin skin. And God has called us to be more thick-skinned people. I believe today that there are people in this room that are choosing to be miserable every day on purpose. Why would you do that? I'm not really sure. There are so many in this room that are easily offended. There are so many in this room that are constantly putting people up on a pedestal, and then when they let them down, "Oh, they let me down." You should never put people up on a pedestal. Because you're not the one that's holding them up there. You're not that person. But we do, and we get offended, and we become so jaded, and we become so tainted at the very fact of, how could that person do that to me? Jesus was not easily offended, and he is our model, church. He could have lived a life where he lived for the opinion of others, or lived a life where he was continuing to try to please his God, his Father. And that's what he did. Imagine if Jesus was thin-skinned kind of when he was on this planet. Imagine if Jesus was preaching and he just had one of his best sermons, and he leans over to the disciples and said, "Do you think I was funny? Did I offend anybody? Do you think I hurt? And he's looking for the approval of the people. No, you don't. See, what Jesus would have had fed the 5,000, and he looks at his disciples and walks away from it and says, "Nobody said thank you. Nobody sent me a thank you card. Nobody even noticed what I did for them." Yet we do that every day. We try, "I'll be what Jesus wants me to do, and I'll do what Jesus, and I'll go where he wants me to go," and we do it, and we get bumped up against somebody, and, "Oh, I'm never going to do that again. Oh, no, not me. I'll stay away from that. You'll never catch me darkening that again. You'll never catch me going there doing that." Jesus had a very interesting way of approaching life. Jesus went so many places and rubbed up against so many people, and so many people pushed at him. And Jesus did something that the Bible, it's a word for this, when you overlook the offenses that people put at you, the word for it is a bar. A bar. Everybody say it with me. A bar. A bar. One more time. A bar. He said you're to a bar. What that mean? You're to overlook it. You're to just let it slide off. But somebody needs to pay. Somebody I need a pound of flesh for. But Jesus went from town to town to town, and he barred everywhere he went. It is to a person's glory, the Bible says, to overlook an offense when somebody disappoints you. It is so important. And here's a couple, two thoughts to think about as you think about a barring in the people's lives in your area. Understand this. And if you don't understand this by now, you're in big trouble. And it's this truth. People will always let you down. Always. There is no person with blood that won't let you down. If you've been around me over maybe a week, you know that I let you down all the time. You know that I don't always respond, I don't always come, I don't always do what you want me to do, because I'm a human being, and so are you. You're only human. You were never intended to hold somebody up. That is not your job. People will let you down on the daily. They will let you down. So stop trying to keep broken people propping you up. You never, and that leads to the second truth. People can't meet your needs. People can't meet your needs. I want to speak just real quickly to younger people that are in here today. Don't look to some guy or to some girl to meet your need. Don't look to some boyfriend or some girlfriend to meet your need. It's never going to happen. Now, of course, they're going to meet a couple things, but they're not going to meet the need that was meant for God. Everywhere in Scripture it says this, trust God with all your heart. It never says trust people with all your heart. Stop trying to go to the wrong place. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, rather than being offended, rather than living in a pity party, rather than trying to just say, I quit trusting people, it says this, when we are cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, what do? We endure it. And when we are slandered, we answer kindly. Wow. Instead of being overcome by evil, instead of trying to blow off of our axis and just come back at the people that hurt us, the Bible says, God, pray this. Help me have a thicker skin. And then the last prayer, not just have a thicker skin, but secondly, pray, God, help me live with a softer heart. Help me live with a softer heart. Outside, thick. Inside, thinner heart. A heart that breaks for the stuff that breaks his heart. I'm convinced today that if you want to have deeper friendships, and you're here today and you're looking for friends, you have got to have a softer heart. I'm here today saying, if you want to have a deeper relationship with your spouse or the one that you're looking to be your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you have to have a softer heart. You want to rise in level of leadership at your job, and you want people to notice you and say to you, that person needs to be what? He needs to have a softer heart. You say, well, Jeff, that doesn't work to have a softer heart. It does, because what it does, a soft heart, God comes in and he does something that's supernatural. You say, well, you're getting walked on. No. you're being like Jesus. A guy asked Jesus one time, he said, Jesus, of all the commands, of everything that you say out there, of everything you ever say, what's the most important thing that God would say? You know this. You've heard it a million times. He said, the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. The second most important thing, incredibly close to the first, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the only way you do that is with a soft heart. A heart that breaks for the stuff that breaks God. His heart. See, as Christ followers, we've got to have the biggest heart for God's people. We've got to have the biggest heart for what God is doing. And we have to know what God wants to do in our lives. Otherwise, we're just doing our own thing. If anyone had an excuse to have a hard heart and close it off. It was Jesus. Jesus had plenty of opportunity to close his heart, and yet he didn't. When mankind was at its worst, God was at his best. And that's God's prayer for us today. That's his hope for us today. In the midst of the biggest relational letdown, in the midst of the biggest disappointment of his life, Jesus was able to say in Luke 23:24, as he hung on the cross, "No crimes committed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." How was that possible? Because he had a soft heart. He had a soft heart. There are those today that are in this place that the only cure for you is in a holy encounter with a holy God. A time where you come to God and say, "God, here's my heart. Would you take it and you re-break it today? Because it's hard. It's hard. People have hurt me and I don't want to let them in." And God would say to you today, just open up. Open up. What do we do when we're let down? What do we do when we're disappointed? Church, by the power of God, we abar. We let it go. We let it go. We rise above the distracting things that keep us from doing the will of God. Jesus showed us it's possible. We live with a thicker skin. We live in the presence of a God who helps us live with a softer heart. You'll never be able to do this on your own. It's only through God that you can have that soft heart that I'm talking about today. And you'll know if you've got it or not. And some of you today, I want to challenge you during our ministry time to examine your heart and say, "God, look at me. Look at my heart, and would you cleanse it today?" Man, you come on up as I pray.